The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Will VW workers go union in Tennessee? We'll find out tonight. Steelworkers rally around President Biden after he pushes to triple tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum. And today on the show, the latest from the American Legion and the Alliance for Retired Americans. Welcome to the Friday, April 19th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Well, it is the third Friday of the month, and that always goes to Jeffrey Stoffer. Jeff is with the American Legion magazine. He handles all media and communications. For complete updates, legion.org. This is the time we preview the next month's edition, which would be the May edition. And the first story we're going to start off with is titled Disillusion. The U.S. military is, by and large, a family business. So if your dad is in the military, your dad will probably say, son, you need to go into the Army or the Marines. That's been going on for years. Well, you know what's going on now? A lot of families are becoming less likely to encourage the next generation to join. In fact, they did some polling on this, and they found that 32% of active duty family respondents were likely to recommend military service to a young family member. That has dropped significantly in the last 8 years. It was 55%. It went from 55% to 32%. And much of that is attributed to, well, a number of things: housing costs, extended time away from home, spouse employment, low pay. And Jeff is going to run down some numbers here on how the armed forces are just not making it right now. The Army, for one, largest of the services, came up 10,000 short of its goal to recruit 65,000 active duty soldiers. The only branch was the Marines, and they just made it. So we'll cover that story, which is titled Disillusion. Fewer military families are encouraging their children to serve, threatening one of the Pentagon's biggest recruiting resources. And the Legion is involved in talks with Washington and members of Congress to figure out what they're going to do about this. Honor, heal, empower, and unite. This is an article by Henry Howard, and it's all about an Army vet and a Legionnaire, Michael Rodriguez, who's leading the charge for a national global war on terrorism memorial. And they're all gathering right now trying to figure out what this is going to look like. And they got a lot of people that are throwing their opinions out, literally tens of thousands of people saying, we want it to look like this. And the plan is to have this all done and dedicated by 2027. All right. That's just, 3 years away? Honor, heal, empower, and unite. And lastly, Jeff Stoffer authored this one. It's titled At Home in Dripping Springs. This is really heartwarming. About 5 years ago, a Vietnam War vet named Shorty handed Catherine Chandler a handwritten flyer that looked like an Old West wanted poster. And it said, wanted: piece of land suitable to build a joint meeting hall for American Legion Post 290 and Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 2933 in Dripping Springs, Texas. Well, Shorty definitely connected with the right person, because just a half decade later, Catherine patrols the construction site of Patriots Hall. This is a 10-acre site that has generated millions of dollars in charitable contributions, mostly from the community, and stands to serve as a model for today's vets in Central Texas, perhaps even beyond. The first building completed is the new joint home of the local American Legion and the VFW Post. It's an amazing story. It was an idea. Hey, we need some land. And now they got a $10 million campus that's about to open. Unbelievable story. That'll all be in the May edition of the American Legion magazine. Norm Wernett will be joining us later in the show on behalf of the Ohio Alliance for Retired Americans, retiredamericans.org. And we're going to talk about the tax cuts. During a private speech, and these are the Trump tax cuts that happened in 2017. During a private speech delivered at the home of a billionaire hedge fund investor. This was just about a week and a half ago, and the name of the investor was John Paulson. Donald Trump promised to extend those tax cuts beyond their 2025 expiration date, if he becomes president, of course. Well, since the law's changes were implemented, billionaire wealth in the United States has doubled. And that's partly because the law cut the top income rate from 39.6% to 37% and made a permanent cut in the corporate tax rate from 35% to 31%. Now, according to the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, an extension of the tax bill would result in the wealthiest 1% of Americans receiving an average, this is an average tax cut, of $25,650 in 1 year, while the poorest 20% would see an average tax cut of $100. Now, you know, we got to fund the government, and the Alliance is very, very proactive when it comes to funding Social Security, and we'll weave that in because it's important that we strengthen Social Security, not weaken it. Now, speaking of Social Security, I want to call attention to a show that I did just a couple of days ago with Jessica LaPointe. Now, Jessica is president of the National Council of Social Security Administration Field Operations Locals. That would be AFGE Council 220. And she was talking about Social Security offices closing, one just closing in Cleveland, Ohio, and more are slated to close. Why? Because they're not getting the funds that they need to staff those offices. And sadly, the office in Cleveland closed in a community that's 94% black. Do check out that show. Go to awpodcast.com. And the guest was Jessica LaPointe on behalf of one of our sponsors here on America's Workforce, AFGE. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at boydwatterson.com. Well, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 4,300 workers at the Volkswagen plant finished voting today on whether to join the United Auto Workers Union. Now, a successful election seems imminent, especially given that the UAW has stated that 70% of the workers pledged to vote for unionization. Adding to the significance of this election, UAW has tried to unionize the Chattanooga plant twice in the past decade, failing both times, but it seems many are saying the tide may be changing. And get this, the plant in Chattanooga is the only Volkswagen plant in the world without worker representation. How about that? This election is part of a larger effort by the UAW to expand its presence in the South. Currently, 48% of U.S. auto workers are employed by the big three unionized auto shops. And that would be Ford, GM, and Stellantis. The other half, however, are employed at mostly non-union, foreign-owned car companies, all in the South. And the election is a step in shaking up that dynamic, and the UAW's efforts have received significant pushback from businesses and government officials. We talked about this yesterday. The governors of six southern states released a joint statement on Tuesday warning that joining the UAW would threaten jobs and community values. The right-to-work laws and employer resistance in many of the states make organizing workers very difficult. However, knowing that, the UAW has pumped $40 million into this campaign. Sean Fain is serious. He is serious. And again, we'll find out those results tonight. Moving on to the steelworkers, members of the union this week proudly welcomed President Biden to their international headquarters in Pittsburgh as he announced a series of very aggressive steps that his administration is taking to further ensure U.S. trade policy supports workers and their communities. Now, this included Biden's announcement that his administration is initiating an investigation of Chinese commercial shipbuilding. This is in response to the Section 301 petition the union and four other labor organizations filed last month. And this is what Dave McCall said at that meeting just a couple of days ago. A robust commercial shipbuilding industry is necessary for meeting our national defense and economic security needs. But unfortunately, our domestic capacity has withered as a result of China's non-market policies. And we're grateful that the president is taking this threat seriously. Now, Biden further announced that he is calling on the U.S. trade rep to triple tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum to help curb global overcapacity, as well as pushing Mexico to address the surge of Chinese and other foreign-made steel and aluminum that's entering the United States over its southern border. Now, there is a trade law that the United States signed with Mexico 5 years ago, and Mexico is violating that. What China is doing, instead of sending the steel to the United States, is going to Mexico, and Mexico is sending it here, and that is wrong. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jeff Stover on behalf of the American Legion.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives now more than ever. It's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org is our website. Let's go to line number one. Welcome a longtime regular, over 15 years being on America's Workforce. That'll be Jeffrey Stover of the American Legion magazine, legion.org for complete updates on their website. Does a great job on the website, I might add. A lot of good video there you might want to check out. And this is the time of the month where we preview the next month, which is the May edition. And one of the big stories is titled Disillusion. Fewer military families are encouraging their children to serve, threatening one of the Pentagon's biggest recruiting resources. Jeff Stouffer, you and I talked about this, I recall, in a previous edition of America's Workforce. And from what I gathered here, and this is the third in a series of articles, it sounds like the situation is not getting any better. Talk to me about what's going on here. What seems to be the problem? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that is the, you know, when we began this journey of kind of like trying to, examine the military recruiting crisis, because it's been going on for a couple of years now. And, you know, we ran into the issue of only 23% of those who wanted to enlist could actually qualify. They couldn't meet the expectations or the test requirements for physical or academic or whatever. But out of that, then you take, you know, they're fighting that 23%. The military has to fight off everybody else who wants that 23% of high quality people who are also in high demand in the workforce. And so the issue is compounded when second generation or multi-generation kids are not hearing from their parents who are veterans and military families that it's a great idea to do this. And that is sort of a response. There was in 2023, there was this Blue Star Families Military Family Lifestyle Survey, and 7,431 active duty service members, National Guard and Reserves. It was found that 32% of active duty family respondents only 32% were likely to recommend military service to a young family member. And that is a drop from 55% in 2016. So the majority of people who were saying, hey, military service is a great route to a new career, a great life, it sets you up, you are going to gain skills and benefits that you can't get elsewhere, 55% were encouraging their kids to do it in 2016. That fell to 32% in 2023. That's a big drop. And so we, in the American Legion, we feel like that we have a role nationally, and a lot of people in the Pentagon feel this way, and we're really going to start to work this, and we'll be hearing more about it, and I'll be talking more about it on the show in months ahead. But a real overt effort for our organization to better connect with schools, junior ROTC, and start to impart the value of military service to young people. But there's a lot of reasons that these studies are showing that kids are not getting into military service or not choosing military service.
So, Jeff, what are they saying? There's got to be some reasons. Apparently, the military is not accommodating young people today like they should. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, they are. The military does accommodate. I think the whole key to this boils down to the media presentations of military service and the topics that are kind of like focused on. But then there are, you know, like a lot of the responses, respondents have come back saying that they're worried about PTSD, and all of the media on PTSD and suicide prevention. Of course, we're very involved with our Be the One campaign to strengthen, awareness about veteran suicide. But the majority of kids are seeing those messages and not seeing the other side, which is the great career benefits and the skills and the healthcare benefits, and also the discipline and the training that you can't get elsewhere, plus college, free college. So, another sticking point in all this is, honestly, they are getting jobs. We're having a war for talent, and they're not. And kids coming out of high school are not thinking, I better go join the military or I'm going to be working fast food for the rest of my career, because they're coming out. And, you know, and we encourage this, but they're going into, you know, trades, and they're getting fast tracked in industry. In a lot of the skilled industries, which is great, but they can also do that through military service and come out with a bundle of benefits. There's just a variety of conditions, and I'm, this is kind of an irony that is brought up in the story by a writer who we really like, who's done this three-part series, Steve Benyon, who wrote about how the Army is planning to add 3,000 recruiters to try to rectify the situation. But great shock, they've only been able to fill about half of that number of recruiters. They can't even recruit enough recruiters, you know, and that's a challenge.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I think that's a great irony in this story. But the problem is, down the bottom line is, we still stood at the end of 2023, 41,000 short of making goal across the branches. And even the Marine Corps, which always recruits more than exceeds their goal, just barely made it. And the Space Force, which only had a recruitment goal of 472 Guardians. They got 537, but everybody else did not make target, and some were way short.
Yeah, the numbers are all in the article. The Army fell short 10,000 of their goal, 10,000, what they were shooting for. The Navy, they recruited 30,000 new sailors, roughly 20% short of their goal. Their goal was 37,700. And the Air Force missed its active duty enlistment goals for the first time since 1999. Wow. Yeah, if this trend continues, we're going to have some problems here. So it sounds like you're building a campaign here with the Legion, with the Pentagon, going into high schools. But it sounds like you got to put a fresh coat of paint on here to attract young people today. To your point, I mean, the Army does pay you. They don't pay very much. And the benefits are good, like the GI Bill, especially the newer GI Bill here. But apparently, you really got to juice this up. Is there anything that you can share with our listeners right now, what you might be doing? Or is it kind of premature right now?
Well, it's a little early, but we are at work. Our National Security Division in Washington, D.C. is working with the Pentagon right now on a program to get more connection between veterans in the community through the American Legion into the schools, among other families in the community, because I think if there no other organization, you know, has benefit, feels more, you know, honored to have served than the American Legion, and they're going to share that message. And we have programs where we do get into the schools, as you know, like Junior ROTC and American Legion Boys State and American Legion, youth sports programs and scholarships and that sort of thing. So there are ways that we have entree into some schools where recruiters, as you know, in the past have been denied access. Recruiters have not really been all that welcome in high schools, and to talk about the virtues of military service. And so I think that what you need to do is we better shift the paradigm pretty quick, because the world isn't becoming less volatile right now. And we are going to find ourselves in a two-front war sometime suddenly. And you know what comes after that? If you don't have enough people in the standing military, you know what the result has to be. And that's something that, you know, we saw, you know, prior to Vietnam, prior to World War II, frankly. Recruiting crisis I think it applies very vividly and matches up very vividly with, you know, our workforce labor shortage. The war for talent is a real struggle, and it's across a lot of sectors, but the military is feeling it hardcore.
You know, sadly, I caught this in the article, is the fact that you can't advertise, all you being the armed forces here, they can't advertise on TikTok. And a lot of young people, that's all they get. They get all their information on TikTok. You know that. And apparently, because of the concerns that, you know, they're owned by China and they may be a threat to national security, the armed forces are not going to go down that road. So, yeah, there's a lot of problems that need to be ironed out here, but we'll keep working on it. Jeff Stouffer joining us on our live line today on behalf of the American Legion. Legion.org for complete updates. We're talking about the May edition coming out shortly here. Two more articles. We'll talk about the war on terrorism, a national monument, and also at home in Dripping Springs. Hopefully I caught your attention. We'll talk about those stories next right here on America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel for more information. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at USW.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Jeff Stouffer from the American Legion, talking about the May edition. And, of course, in May, we commemorate Memorial Day at the end of the month. And there's an article here that will lead us right into that. Honor, Heal, Empower, United, Army veteran. Guy by the name of Michael Rodriguez is leading the charge for a national global war on terrorism memorial. And they hope to have a dedication in 2027, which is right around the corner. And this is a great article by Henry Howard. I love Henry's articles. Jeff, maybe you could share some details in this article, but I think it's long overdue. No doubt about it. You can pick it up from there. Go ahead.
Long overdue, yes, but fast by Washington measures. I mean, the degree of difficulty of placing a memorial, anything like that, on National Park Service land in the National Mall in Washington, D.C., is a complicated journey. I can tell you, you know, we've talked before about the Women's Vietnam Memorial that took 10 years of congressional hearings and fighting and over design and placement and all that. The World War II memorial that we at the American Legion connected with Bob Dole. Bob Dole was chairman of that, and we were trying to get a World War II memorial installed in Washington, D.C., which it finally did in 2004, but it took years to get that put together. Same with the Korean War Memorial and the Vietnam War Memorial. But here, if you think about it, you know, the global war on terrorism folks, the people who really were fighting for a global war on terrorism memorial got started well before the war was over, knowing that this was going to be a long and complicated journey. And it's led by a veteran, a Green Beret, named Michael Rodriguez, who is an artist himself. He does art with steel metal work. And he is a great inspiration. He's a guy who started when he started in as a private. He fought in Somalia in that conflict, but he continued on through from the 10th Mountain Division on to become a Green Beret and fought in Afghanistan and in the global war on terrorism up until he was medically discharged in 2013 after he had quote unquote multiple combat wounds. And his multiple combat wounds included many TBI sort of, head injuries, just a variety of different wounds. But he is an inspiration. He is he had difficulty, of course, adjusting to life after 20 years in the military, more than 20 years of combat. And this is sort of the way he's taken up this mission. He leads it, and it has been all about, he's hitting the right notes with the four tenets of what the Global War on Terrorism Memorial are going to hit on. And that's honor, healing, empowerment, and unite. And the four tenets are about this. Honor is this isn't just a memorial to those who died, but all who served and sacrificed. And they importantly include, it's more than 3,400 who were non-uniformed individuals who lost their lives from the United States in the global war on terrorism. Talk about healing. You talked about physical and emotional and spiritual, and also the healing as a nation. You know, after this our longest continuous war, came to this kind of sad ending when the Taliban resumed control of Afghanistan. Empowerment, and the memorial was built to give those global war on terrorism veterans a chance to get their voices heard, to share their stories, so their stories are not lost to history, as really were the Korean War veterans, who are another memorial. Those memorials have a tendency, as we found out with the women and with the Korean War veterans, that what they do is they'll stir up pride and service. They'll stir up people to talk about what their experiences were about and unite behind that. And memorial is built is dedicated to the sense of unity our nation felt after 9/11. So Michael Rodriguez, Rod Rodriguez, I heard him speak at the Student Veterans of America conference last winter. And I talked to Henry and I said, we've got to get an interview with this guy. He is truly an inspiration. We've had him on a couple of other media pieces that we do, but he is a member of the American Legion. We're very proud of that. And he gave us kind of the outline and the update. At least they got a site located. The site is located on the National Mall. It's not far from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, kind of near the Lincoln Memorial. And they figure that they will have by 2025, a final design will be approved. They don't have a design yet. Interesting how they're going to do it. They did a kind of a call for submissions on ideas. And of course they got 20,000 different submissions, no doubt, no less 20,000 submissions. So they've got a panel. They've got a group of artists who are basically either veterans from the global war on terrorism or Gold Star families who've lost a family member. So it's either, you're either a veteran of the war or you're a family member who lost someone in the war, who are basically going to sort of, I think, aggregate some of these submissions and come up with a design. And they, hopefully that design will be unveiled and approved, and they're going to break ground in 25, and they look for it to be standing, whatever it may be, in 2027. We'll be really interested to see what that design looks like when it does come to fruition. But Rodriguez is extremely proud of his service. He was built for military service. His both grandfathers were World War II combat veterans. His dad was a Vietnam War combat veteran. And then his son is on his fourth deployment with the 82nd Airborne Division. So, I mean, the guy, this is a family who mm-hmm. not only knows military service, but knows combat service, and they're very proud of it. So,
yeah, he breeds military, no doubt about it. I hate to be that person or persons that's got to go through those 20,000 different submissions. Wow, that's a lot there. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Well, we'll stay on this one, and maybe we'll get him on the show. Let's get him sorted out here a little bit, but that sounds like a great guest here for America's Workforce. Let's move to the article that you wrote, At Home in Dripping Springs. All right, Dripping Springs, which is located in Texas. And
that's
this
right.
is an interesting story here because it's all about helping vets. And that's what we talk about, especially with you, Mr. Stouffer. So tell me all about Dripping Springs.
Well, Dripping Springs used to be, you know, this rural town outside of Austin. And now through recent years of development, it's kind of become somewhat connected to Austin. But bottom line is that there was this American Legion VFW post. It was a combined post. And they were chartered about, you know, 25 years ago. And they got started like every little community. And they had 25, 30, 50 members between the two of them. And they worked together on community projects and patriotic services and had American Legion and VFW programs, but they just couldn't stay anywhere. They would operate out of a school building. Then they got this old fire hall and the city condemned it, and they were bouncing around. They went to a church, they went to a restaurant, they were in a group home for boys, and at the end of the day they had no place to go, and years had gone by. They stayed together, but they were homeless. And one of the veterans, and he was one of the members of both the VFW and the American Legion, went out. He put up a sign everywhere. It was a wanted poster. Wanted, a piece of land suitable to build a joint meeting hall for the American Legion and VFW in Dripping Springs, Texas. Well, he goes into the store and he's handing these out to people, and he hands it over to a woman named Catherine Chandler. And Catherine Chandler is a somewhat new resident to that community at that time. And she is the wife of Kyle Chandler, who was the coach in Friday Night Lights, and he appeared in Argo and Zero Dark Thirty and all of these other movies and Hollywood films and TV shows. So she brought the flyer home, and, you know, she was talking to her husband about, well, what are we, you know, this is, we ought to be able to come up with $100,000 and see if we can get a Baxter building or something like that, a Mueller building, a steel building for these veterans to meet in. Well, they talked to a guy in the community, this entrepreneur, software entrepreneur named Hank Seal, and his wife, Lissa, and they had supported various community initiatives. And they thought, you know, this could be bigger than just a VFW American Legion post. Long story short, one thing leads to another. The Chandlers and the Seals get behind it. They get a group together in the community, and big contributions come rolling in. And to bring you forward to today, now they've got a $10 million veterans campus in the middle of Central Texas, which is the highest concentration of veterans in America. And they have this, and it is designed entirely according to survey results from active duty personnel and young veterans from Austin all the way down into San Antonio. So it's for a big, they surveyed them, and they've built this thing. They should be finished with it all in July, but the centerpiece was this beautiful American Legion VFW post that, you know, one of the funders, one of the people who stepped forward, when you get the right people, you know, on your side and helping, they've got good friends. And one of the people who helped with the whole project was Paul DeGioia, who was co-founder of Paul Mitchell Hair Products and Patron Spirits. So he put in a key. There's a big monument to him out front. I do not know how much he gave to build that thing, but it's a beautiful American Legion post. And he is a veteran and he's a self-made billionaire. And, you know, and he said, I want to be a part of this. And they've acknowledged that, and he's from California, but he said, I want to get behind this. But at the end of the day, they got this 10-acre campus, and it is the thing that makes it unique is it's going to be a one-stop shop. It's got VA services. It's going to have claims services, healthcare opportunities. It's got recreation. It's a wellness center, outdoor recreation. They got a fishing pond they're building, fire pits, play areas for kids, equine therapy, all this stuff was based on their survey results. All these veterans wanted was like a steel building to put their post up so they could have their meetings. And they're right now in the center of this massive, massive veterans complex in the middle of Central Texas. And everybody's got their eyes on it. And it might be a model for the future for the American Legion, hell, for VA, for all veteran services. So that's why.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I tell you, you really embraced the story and you told it so well. And it just shows if you meet the right people at the right time, good things can happen. I mean, they just wanted some land. They wanted some land and now they got 10 acres and a $10 million veteran campus. That is so awesome. Got to check it out. Those of you that are members of the American Legion, you should be getting your May edition shortly, At Home in Dripping Springs. Got to check that out. Jeff, always a pleasure. Love having you on the show. Keep up what you're doing over there. Your entire staff doing a great job. American Legion, legion.org for complete updates. We'll talk to you next month. Okay, brother?
Sounds good, Flash. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Norm Wernette will be joining us on behalf of the Ohio Alliance for Retired Americans. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust.
Hi, this is Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and I am a huge fan of Flash and America's Workforce Radio and podcast.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org is their website. If you missed a show we had with Melissa Cropper, that was on Tuesday of this week. Just go to awfpodcast.com. Right now, though, let's go to Columbus, Ohio, and welcome back to the show, Mr. Norm Wernette. Now, Norm is president of the Ohio Alliance for Retired Americans, the national website. It's the same for all states, retiredamericans.org, retiredamericans.org. And last I checked, there are 4 million members strong and growing. All right, Norm, let's get into it here. I know you want to talk about the tax cuts, which if Trump is elected in November, he says he will extend the tax cuts from 2017. And I know the Alliance took a deep dive into the numbers here, and apparently, well, they helped a certain segment of the population. I'm going to let you pick it up from there. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, it's good to be with you again. And the crazy part about this is that those who are already billionaires doubled their wealth in 7 years under these tax cuts. Does Bill Gates really need more money, or Elon Musk? It's kind of crazy. And at the same time, we increased our deficit. Well, if billionaires were paying what they owe the country, we wouldn't have a deficit. But that's the kind of craziness that our rigged system seems to continue to create. We got here because we have an unfair way that we carve out our congressional districts across the nation, particularly here in Ohio. But it's kind of nuts that you would see the top tax rate continue to be only 21%. It would be, millionaires will get something like $25,000 out of that tax cut, but the billionaires are the ones who are raking the money in at the very top. The rest of us, we might get $100. That doesn't seem fair at all.
No.
And at the same time, we're dithering about whether or not we keep Social Security offices open.
Right.
Really? The Congress doesn't want to allocate because they think that adds to the deficit. Our deficit is created because we give away the money, the wealth that you and I create. That's just silly.
Norm, if you don't mind here, let me interrupt here. There's a name for this. When you cut taxes on corporations and the wealthy, that money that they're saving on taxes is supposed to create jobs, all right? More jobs. And this is called trickle down. Now, in your opinion, is anything trickling down to the American public as a result of these tax cuts?
It's pretty obvious here in the state of Ohio. It took the Inflation Reduction Act and a Congress that was willing to pass that to create jobs here in Ohio. The whole Intel project here in the Columbus area is funded through federal dollars. It wasn't out of the kindness out of the Intel Corporation's heart that they created that here. They needed our dollars, both tax dollars from the citizens of Ohio and our federal tax dollars. That's, trickle-down has not worked. It hasn't worked for 44 years since it was invented in the early 1980s. It's not working now. And and this rigged tax system just creates more wealth at the top. It keeps funneling money away from workers. I was listening to an interview of a worker at the VW plant in Tennessee. He said, the reason why I'm joining a union and voting for the union is because if I'm going to give my life to a corporation and work here for years, I want something to pass on so that my family and my grandkids can have a life.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the billionaires. How much, what can you buy with an additional $1 billion?
Right.
I don't know. The rest of us are looking for how do I keep a kith and kin? How do I pay my rent? Rents are doubling.
Yeah.
Food is increasing. Basics of life, healthcare is increasing. How do I meet the needs of my family? That's what we ought to be looking for.
You know, this week was the deadline for federal and state income taxes, and there's some information that came out from the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. You were talking about the effect of these tax cuts, and they did a deep dive into it from 2018 through 2022. 342 companies in their study paid an average effective income tax rate of just 14.1%. Nearly a quarter of those companies, 87 of them, paid an effective tax rate of under 10%. 55 of them, which is 16% of the 342 companies, including T-Mobile, Dish Network, Netflix, General Motors, AT&T, Bank of America, FedEx, Molson Coors, the company that's being boycotted right now by the Teamsters, they paid an effective tax rate of less than 5%. Wouldn't you like to have a 5% tax rate there, Norm?
Yeah.
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
So how does this bode for you? You mentioned Social Security, and I do encourage you to check the show we did with Jessica LaPointe a couple of days ago on behalf of the American Federation of Government Employees, because, yeah, they're closing Social Security offices. This is ridiculous what's going on. And the one they're closing in northeastern Ohio is in a community that's 94% black. That is troublesome in itself right there. But the important thing here, I know the Alliance is all about strengthening Social Security, and one of the big things, and AFGE is all about this, is scrapping the cap. So you got the Elon Musk, the Warren Buffetts of the world, the Jeff Bezoses, who in a few hours in the new year stop paying into Social Security. And the Alliance has been on this campaign for a number of years now. Are we making a dent here? Are we starting to convince a few people that this has to be done?
I think that the general public does begin to understand that this whole scenario that everybody claims the sky is falling and Social Security won't be there was created deliberately back with the Reagan Greenspan Commission. It's 40 years of corporations being allowed to not tax their CEOs. It's 40 years of Warren Buffett even agrees we should be paying into, we billionaires ought to be paying more of our wealth into Social Security so that those who actually created the wealth have a life after a life of work. Those who are disabled are protected. Those whose bread earners die in the process have their spouses and their children protected. Closing Social Security offices is just another way of creating distrust in us, distrust in the system. We created the system, and the Congress is refusing and defying us, defying our will. They're defying us in that they just won't fund those Social Security offices. The staff, I was just up in Toledo, and I know talking with the AFGE folks up there, their staffing levels are down significantly in the double digits. They need people to be able to process what we've earned and when our benefits come due to us, whether it's through a death or disability or retirement. Mm-hmm. And that's just criminal. That's part of this rigged system. And if we scrap the cap, we know that the funding goes way out in this century. And if we do some moderate other things, we will see the system go on for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren. It is something we built for ourselves. We earn every penny of it. And by the way, not a penny creates any deficit or debt. That's the crazy part about not funding Social Security's offices, is that they're not part of the deficit or the debt. Mm-hmm. That's just criminal that they continue
really
to do
is.
This.
Well said, my man. I thank you so much for coming to the table today. And there's a lot of information posted on the Alliance's website about what we just talked about. Just go to retiredamericans.org. Norm Wernette serves as president of the Ohio Alliance. You take care. Stay safe, my brother. We'll be talking down the road, okay?
Down the road. See ya.
That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, what progeny is and what they're doing to keep people healthy, and the latest from the Transportation Trades Department of the AFL-CIO. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.